So last week we were looking in part at one of Paul's missionary journeys, and during that journey he went from the place called Troas on the edge of modern-day Turkey across the sea over to Philippi, which was in modern-day Greece. And we looked at that in relation to Jesus' command right at the beginning of the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, when he's also at the point when he's about to ascend back into heaven. And he says to the disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And we see in the book of Acts the fulfillment of that command of Jesus, that promise of Jesus, already happening. We see the disciples in Jerusalem spreading the good news, beginning the church there. We see after the great persecution that broke out amongst the Christians that folks like Philip are making their way to Samaria. We hear that others are going throughout Judea preaching the good news. We find that Peter meets a Gentile man called Cornelius, and he begins to open God's word to him. We see that the Apostle Paul, through his missionary journeys, makes his way across the world at that time, beginning churches, ultimately ending up in Rome. And we see in his words in the letter to the Romans that he also had plans to take the gospel to Spain. So within the book of Acts and within the New Testament, you can already see the gospel being moved out of Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. Yet Paul's work ultimately in these places that he went to was to build churches, places locally where believers could come together, they can encourage one another, they could have fellowship with one another, and they could work out how they were going to continue to spread the word of God and continue to support one another. Churches we find in Acts like the church at Pisidian Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Corinth, and Ephesus. And plus we hear of smaller groups of believers in places like Athens as well, all within the Bible. And so churches were the method in which early followers of Jesus, they gathered together to respond together to Jesus's commands. You know, if you're going to set out on a journey of following Jesus, then you really need to have other believers alongside you, because that's how we keep each other going as we come together as fellow believers in Jesus on this journey of faith. Jesus said to his disciples, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." And so that commandment does require the building of fellowship. If disciples are going to make disciples, if disciples are going to show these new disciples how to be a follower of Jesus, they're going to have to get together, to worship together, to learn together, to pray together, to journey and live and act and work together. I remember, and I know I've mentioned this before in my sermons, Claire's probably heard it 100 times, but when I was on my placement, one of the placements I did when I was training for ministry, I went to a Baptist church over in West Sussex, and I was working with a community minister there. And she said that when she'd first come into that church, the words of Jesus's great commission from this passage had been above one of the doorways. But this is what was written above the doorway: "Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything I have commanded you." Does anyone know which word has been left out? Go was missed out, but obey was missed out. So in copying the words, they had missed this very important word, which actually changes quite dramatically what Jesus is calling us to do as his disciples. So he called his disciples to teach new believers not only the commandments that he'd given, but to teach them to obey the commandments that he'd given. Teaching someone how to obey something is a lot harder than just teaching them about it. It's not just about cognitive information that we're taking on in our heads. It's practical information that we then live out with our hands and our feet and the lives that we live. Jesus actually points this out himself in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." And we spoke yesterday as well at the vision and planning take. You know, if we're taking the good news out to people, if people are hearing the good news and we're helping explaining that to them, we also need to find a way to encourage people to see how they can apply that to their lives. And once they see how they can apply it, to then actually apply it. And that's something that we need to do ourselves as followers of Jesus. That's a question we can ask ourselves each and every day. Lord, how does your word apply to my life today? Lord, what are the things that are happening in my life that I need to bring before you so you can help me with them and show me the way that I need to go? What was discipleship going to look like in the immediate future for Jesus' disciples who had gathered with him on the Mount of Olives at the time of his ascension? Well, after the ascension, Jesus' disciples, the 12 disciples we talk about, would become the apostles that we think of them now. We think of them as the apostles. They're going from being students of Jesus when they're following Jesus around to being sent by Jesus, commissioned by Jesus to go into all the world and to make disciples, to continue the mission that he'd started. But the apostles would now need to put their faith into action by being the hands and feet of Jesus. Like Jesus, they would need to proclaim the good news of the kingdom that's accessible through Jesus. They would need to call people to turn to Jesus in repentance and to be baptized. They would need to call new believers to continue to follow the Holy Spirit at work in their lives, responding to his leading. And we see this start to happen in the book of Acts. You know, one of the early things that happens is that we find Peter and John healing a lame man at the Beautiful Gate. And there are many other signs and wonders. The book of Acts even talks about people being healed when Peter's shadow moved across them. Signs and wonders. It says that they preached with boldness. Peter preached with boldness before the Sanhedrin. I mean, we kind of think, oh, it's like, you know, going and preaching in front of the regional minister or something like that. It's not like that at all. It was very dangerous for them to be doing this. Peter even declared before them that Jesus is the only name given under heaven by which we can be saved. And he's saying that to the people who are in charge. Stephen bore witness even to the point of being martyred for his faith in Acts chapter 7. They followed the Spirit's leading. Philip was guided to the Ethiopian man that we looked at a couple of weeks ago. Peter was guided towards the Gentile Cornelius. Paul was directed in his missionary journeys, as we looked at last week, when he has this dream saying that he must go to Macedonia. And then he meets with Lydia there. Their faith also needed to be lived out in community. We see that in the book of Acts as well. As they're coming together, as they're sharing their possessions with one another, as they're meeting together to take the Lord's Supper, then the apostles need to find 7 deacons to take care of the practical matters and looking after the widows among them. They had to persevere under suffering, rejoicing even at times when they were being imprisoned and flogged for their faith. We think of Paul and Silas singing in prison hymns to God, even though they were held captive. They give courageous testimony before rulers and kings. I wonder whether they would have kept going if they'd known that all of that stuff was about to happen to them. But this is how, even from the early days, you see that faith is not just about hearing the word, it's about putting it into action. It's not just about theoretical knowledge, it's about a way of life. And this is perhaps one of the reasons why people called Christians in those early days followers of the way. The way of Jesus. Jesus even described himself as the way, the truth, the life, the only way to the Father. And for us today, discipleship means following the way of Jesus. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, beginning of chapter 11, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." Now, although Paul had to live as an example to people that they would watch him, and he would constantly say, you know, look at the way I've lived my life among you. Try and imitate this. But he made it clear that he wasn't asking them to just simply be like him. He was calling them to be like Jesus. And that was his hope as well. The Holy Spirit is the one who'll empower us to be like Jesus as we focus our hearts and our minds on his presence with us. As we have Jesus within us, God's kingdom is dwelling within us too. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within you." And as the Apostle Paul said, "God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Again to the Colossians, Paul wrote, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom." Following the rules of Christ in our hearts means making our hearts a home for the King. As we're following the King of the kingdom, we're subjects of his kingdom in the world. We're living with Jesus as King day by day in our lives, constantly asking that question, "Lord, how do you want me to walk in my life today?" And this is something that we are called by Jesus to teach new believers to do as well. Because he teaches us not only to spread the word, not only to baptize, not only to teach commandments, but to help people to obey those commandments as well, and to live the Christian life in a practical way. There's another slide that will come up on the screen now. Things that we might want to think about as we learn to obey Jesus. Things that we can do in our daily lives that we could also help others to do in their lives as well. Pause and pray. Stop and pray and reflect before making decisions, particularly those ones that are very significant decisions in our lives. Start with Jesus. Now, this is a scary one. If you say to people, "Begin with prayer every day," people think, "Oh no, well, I can't do a quiet time in the morning because I'm just not awake." And that's okay, because remember that, you know, in your quiet time, you might have a moment during the day when you spend some time in the Bible. And it's okay if that is in the afternoon or a better time of day. But all I'm saying at the moment, start your day with Jesus, is to say a simple prayer at the start of the day. You know, people often talk about at the moment, you know, what's the first thing you do when you wake up? Is it for what for many people is grab your mobile phone? If you are a mobile phone grabber, as soon as you wake up, think as you do that, do I need to pray first? Lord, help me in this day. I want to put you first this morning. I pray that when I get out of bed, that you will be guiding my steps and I'll be listening to your voice. Help me, Lord, in everything that I do today to remember your presence, to be able to walk step by step with you, to know that you're with me and that you'll help me as I make the decisions I need to make. And then there's the learning from the word. We can grow and learn from Christ's teaching. Maybe that's more the extended Bible study. Maybe that's if you're going to a Bible study or home group. Maybe that's coming to church on a Sunday morning, time to reflect on God's word. Maybe it's going through a devotional in your day-to-day life. It's important that we get to know Jesus by reading and learning the Bible, the word that he's left for us to go through day by day. The Gospels that tells us about him, the letters in the Bible that tells us how new churches were being formed and had to learn how to apply Jesus' teaching to their day-to-day lives. The book of Acts, which shows all of those amazing steps of faith that the first apostles had to make. And then walk together, committing to church, to come for encouragement, to come for fellowship, to come for guidance from God. And also, I always think when I hear the word fellowship now, don't judge me for this, but I always think of the name of the Tolkien novel / film, The Fellowship of the Ring. Because their fellowship is a group of people that are very different from one another. They come together for this one purpose of taking this ring off to a mountain to drop it into the fire. Okay, that's where the analogy stops, really. But they're on the journey together and they're a fellowship, because you have fellows on your journey. And that's what fellowship's like for us as well. We're fellows on this same journey that Jesus has sent us on. There's an opportunity for prayer this morning. We have a couple of people that will be wearing the red lanyards after the service today if you want to have prayer from the prayer ministry team. Or feel free to pray with someone that you've come with, someone that you know well. Are you currently endeavouring to follow Jesus and need encouragement for your own journey with him? Are you wanting to help a new believer to follow Jesus? Are you considering following Jesus for the first time, but you need to know where to start? But let's just encourage one another today to seek God at this time. Seek God in each part of our lives so we may follow his leading and not only hear his word, but put it into action. Let's pray together.